Well, good morning, guys. It is it's a truly an honor to be up here in front of you guys, be able to preach what God has put on my heart over the last couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, Rich asked me if I wanted to preach today, and I was like, yeah, I would love to. Well, then I started thinking, I was like, okay, well, now what am I going to preach on? Rich is in the middle of a series through Genesis, right? And so I'm like, well, that's great, but I'm like, now what do I preach on? Because you're in this middle of this series. And so I got home and I was thinking about it, and I talked to Dad, and he gave me some ideas. And I was like, oh, there's this study from what he was telling me. I'm like, there's this guy that I really want to do a study on. And his name is Barnabas from the New Testament. And so I was like, we're going to do a character study. We're just going to dive into him a little bit and see a little bit about him and how he lived life. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be doing a little character study on Barnabas. To me, I loved making this message. I thought it was super, super cool being able to study him out. So I'm excited. So we're going to first be in Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 36 first. So you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. But this guy, Barnabas, he is such an amazing encourager. When I think of Barnabas, I think of one who's always building someone up in the faith and always wanting to encourage someone. So I want to thank Dad for reading that passage out of Romans, because it really kind of fits really good with what we're going to be studying. But before we get started, though, I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive on into his word. So, Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity that I have to come and just share what you put on my heart with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So I just want to pray that you'd be with me, help me to relay your word correctly and properly, Lord, and that we'd be able to grow and learn from it. So I want to thank you for all that you do for us. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So again, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4 to start off with. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. So I hope you got your fingers all warmed up, because we're going to be moving around. So starting off in Acts chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 32. And it reads, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." And Joses, everyone pronounced his name, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the first thing we're going to notice about Barnabas, or about Joses, is his name was changed. His name was changed to Barnabas. And I found it kind of interesting, because the apostles are the ones that change his name. Now, a lot of times when you think of someone in the scripture having their names changed, it's from God, right? You have Abraham that God changes to Or you have Abram that God changes to Abraham. You have Sarai, who God changes to Sarai. You have Jacob, who God changes to Israel. You have Simon, who God changes to Peter. But I found it kind of interesting that the apostles here are the ones that change, that give him his new name, Barnabas. And it means son of encouragement. I thought that was kind of cool. And so I was reading some commentaries on it. And some commentaries believe that Barnabas was one of the 70 that Christ sent out to go to those towns, if you remember, right? He sent out those first missionary team, if you want to prepare the way for him to come. And some of them believe that he was part of that, and that's how he kind of got his name changed, was that through him being there with the disciples, they got to know him, he was well-respected, they got to see how he lived out his life, he's encouraging people. And so that's how he got his name changed. Other commentaries I read believe that he was just, let's see how I wrote that down. Others believe that he was just so generous with his gifts, right? Because he just mentioned that he sold his land. that he was so generous with his gift and encouragement to the people that that's how the apostles changed his name. Either way, I don't really know. It was unclear. But I just found it cool that the apostles are the one that changed his name, that his lifestyle that he had was enough that the apostles were like, you know what? You are such an encourager in the faith that, you know, we're going to call you Barnabas now instead. I just thought that's kind of cool. So yeah, his name means encouragement. It means son of encouragement, it says. And that is a title that Barnabas lives up to his entire life. Everywhere Barnabas goes, as we're going to see here a little bit, everywhere he goes, he's living up to that title. He's always encouraging people, right? You know, you have Saul, where he encourages Saul. We're going to look at it a little bit later, where he takes John Mark, and he wants to help encourage John Mark. He's sent to these churches to help encourage them. And so I think that's really cool that he lives up to this title that he has. Next, we see that he's a Levite, and he's from the region of Cyprus. Now, who knows where Cyprus is? It is an island. Yep, it's in the Mediterranean Sea. It's about 60 miles to Cyprus from Jerusalem. So that's just a little fun kind of geography about that. And then we find out that Barnabas has land, and he sells it, and he brings it to the disciples' feet, to the apostles' feet. And so he's in Jerusalem, and he is participating with the church there. He's not just there hanging out. He's actually participating with the church. He's doing what they're doing. He's following. He's wanting to be a part. And so I think that's just really, really cool to see. So now that we've done a little backstory about Barnabas, we're going to jump in and we're going to see him actually in action. We're going to see how he works. So go ahead and flip on over to Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 30. Again, that's Acts chapter 9, 26 through 30. And it reads, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarshish." So we're going to do a little recap here, right, about Saul and how he gets to this point. So just before this, Saul's been, you know, one that's been helped persecuting the church, right? He thought that he was doing what was right in his eyes for following Christ, so he's persecuting the church. And he was actually one that, it says, you know, when Stephen was martyred just a couple of chapters ago, he was one that held the coats for those to stone him. It's like, here's Saul that they know him as a big persecutor of the church. And so he goes to the Pharisees, to the high priest, and gets a letter to go to Damascus to persecute the church there. We know what happens on the road. He meets the Lord. He gets saved, and he preaches Christ in Damascus. Well, now here he is coming to Jerusalem, and he wants to join the apostles. And the apostles are like, this is the guy that has been persecuting us, and he's the guy that kind of led the stuff on Stephen. And so, like, no, we don't want him to join because we don't trust him yet. So Saul gets rejected by the church there, and who's the first guy that comes alongside him and takes him under his wing? It's Barnabas, this guy who is the son of encouragement. It's that guy that always comes to pick people up in the Lord. So Barnabas comes alongside of him. And what does he do? He takes Saul back to the apostles. And I was thinking about this, and it kind of made me chuckle, because I was thinking, like, okay, put yourself in the apostles' shoes, right? You're, you know, you're sitting in whoever house you're at. Maybe you're at Simon Peter's house. Who knows? And all of a sudden, here comes Barnabas in. You're like, oh, yeah, it's Barnabas. Barnabas is this great guy. Like, we love Barnabas. And so you're excited to see Barnabas. And all of a sudden, right behind him walks Saul in too. And you're just kind of thinking like, well, this is great. We just rejected Saul. And now here he is with Barnabas. Like, what's going through your mind? I just thought that was just kind of interesting. And then Barnabas, he takes the lead. Like it says in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he, Barnabas, declared to them how he, Saul, had seen the Lord. Like, he takes the lead and he goes, hey guys, this is what's happened. Like, Saul is no longer the Saul that was persecuting us. Like, he's seen the Lord. He's met the Lord. He's now saved. And he comes and he encourages Saul and he builds him up and he takes him back to the apostles. Like, this guy is always trying to help encourage people. He's always trying to build them up. And I think that's super, super cool. And so Barnabas is right alongside of Saul. And he takes him under his wing. And it says that Barnabas is with him going in and going out and preaching the word. To the point to where the Hellenist Jews there try to kill him. And so what do the Jews do? Or what do the apostles do? They bring him in, they send him down to Caesarea, and they send him off to Tarshish. Like, yeah, we're gonna get you out of here, that way they don't kill you. But Barnabas is just such a cool guy, and just how this is the first time we really see him in action of how he takes people under his wing and he helps encourage them. So in the next part we're gonna move on. We're going to go over to Acts 11, and we're going to continue to see how Barnabas lives his life and how he lives up to this title that the apostles gave him of son of encouragement. So we're going to be in Acts 11. We're going to be in verse 19, where we're going to start off with. So Acts 11, verse 19. And it reads, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he had come and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and a great many of the people were added to the Lord. We're going to stop right there for a minute. So here's these people, and they're from Cyprus in Cyrene, you know, where Paul's from. And they go to Antioch after the dispersion, after Stephen, and after the great persecution, right? The church is split there in Jerusalem. And they go, and they're disputing with the Hellenists in Antioch. And many of them are getting saved. And so God's working great in Antioch. He's working so mightily that the church in Jerusalem hears about it. Like, it makes its way all the way down to Jerusalem. Like, hey, stuff's happening in Antioch. And so what does the church in Jerusalem go? They go, hey, we're going to send someone to them. We're going to send an amazing encourager in the faith, one who lives up to that title. And we're going to send him to them. That way he can help participate and encourage those people. So they send Barnabas, this guy who is always encouraging people. And so they send Barnabas, and Barnabas goes there, and he gets there. And what happens? The first thing he does is he sees. He doesn't have to go and talk to people. He gets there, and he's walking around, and he can see in that church there, and those believers that have been started, he can see the grace of God. And I think that is really, really cool. And I hope that's a challenge for us. Is if someone comes to our church, do they see the grace of God? Can they just walk in and be like, hey, there's something different about this church? This church are one with Christ. Like, there's just a love for one another. There's just the grace of God. And I think that's a really cool challenge. And so Barnabas gets there. He sees the grace of God. And what's the first thing he does? It says he goes and he sees the grace of God and he encourages them. That's the first thing. He comes alongside and goes like, hey, you guys are doing great. Keep it up. Keep going. Don't quit. Pursue with all your purpose. Pursue with your heart the Lord. Like, don't turn away. He's just right alongside of them going, keep going, guys. And I just think that's so cool that that's who this guy is. He's one that is, no matter what's going on, he's going to come alongside you and help encourage you. And we all need encouragement in our lives, right? Like, I know I have some people in my life that no matter what I talk to them, how I talk to them, I'm going to come away encouraged. Like, how they respond to me, how they talk to me, I'm going to be encouraged. And I think it's really, really cool that Barnabas can be that guy for a lot of these people. And so he gets there, he sees the grace, he encourages them. And I think it's kind of cool because then Luke gives us more detail about Barnabas, right? Because Luke is the author of Acts. And in verse 24, we find out, and Luke writes, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith." Like, that is how Barnabas can do all the stuff that he can do, is because he is one with Christ. Like, he is following him so diligently that it says that he's a good man and he's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And I just think that is super, super cool, is he can do that because of how he is with Christ. And I think that's a challenge also for us, is how are we living with Christ? Are we full of, if someone looks at us, will they be able to tell that we're full of the Holy Spirit, that we're full of faith? Some days yes, some days no, right? We're humans. But I think that's a cool challenge for us, is that's how we need to be living. And so, and then we're going to continue on where we left off in the chapter. We're going to pick it back up in verse 25. "And then Barnabas departed for Tarshish to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many of people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." So here's Barnabas, right? He's going alongside of people. He's encouraging them. He's helping them. He's building them up, in the faith. And then he goes, "I need some help. Right? There's a lot to be done here. This church is growing rapidly. I need some help. Who could I go and get some help for?" And also, like a light bulb clicks, it goes, "I need Saul." And I think that's just really, really cool. And so Barnabas, he goes, he doesn't send for Saul. He goes and searches for Saul himself. Now, Saul is in Tarshish, right? Because that's what happened after the Jews in Jerusalem tried to kill Saul. They send him to Caesarea and send him to Tarshish. So he knows where Saul's at. And so he goes from Antioch to Tarshish. And now this is 140-mile-ish jaunt from Antioch to Tarshish. Like going in Genesis, where Rich has been talking, about how Jacob and all of them have been traveling through, getting to where they're going. Like, traveling back then was a lot harder than how it is for us now. Like, 140-mile trip for us, like, oh man, we'll just hop in the car. That's going to take us a couple hours, but we'll be there. It's no big deal. For them, that's at least a 5 to 7 day trip. I mean, if you're averaging 20 miles a day, that's going to take you 7 days to get to Tarshish. And so he travels there and he seeks Saul out. He has to go and find him. And I looked this word up. I looked up the word seek, and it means to seek out. I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping for some more like fancy term. But what I could find from it, though, is like it means to seek out, but more like more diligently. Like it takes a little bit harder work. Like it's not just, oh, do we see him? No, like he's actually going and searching for Saul. And so I think that I just found that was kind of cool. And so he goes, he gets Saul, he finds him, and he brings him back to Antioch. He's like, hey, you need to come with me. We got a lot of work to do in Antioch. The church is growing. It's growing very fast. And so they go back to Antioch. And it says that they're there for a whole year. Right? They're there for a whole year teaching and encouraging and bringing people up in the church. And this is the first place where the disciples were first called Christians, was in Antioch. And I think that is just really, really cool that this is that first place where we get our title from Christians today, is from right here in Antioch. When Paul and Barnabas has been there for a whole year, teaching them, encouraging them, building that church up in the faith. And I just think that's really, really cool. So we're going to continue on. We're going to move on to the next point where we see Barnabas in action. And that's just going to be right continuing on in our scripture in verse 27. And it reads, In these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there is going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Paul and Barnabas. So we have this guy Agabus, right? He's a prophet. And it says that he showed them through the Spirit that there's going to be a famine. And so the church there at Antioch, the elders, are like, okay, if we have the ability, we're going to send help to them. And so they all get their stuff together. They get the relief packages. I'm like, okay, well, now who are we going to send this to, right? There's this famine going on. Who are we going to send this money to? And they go, we're going to send Barnabas and Saul. And I just find that really, really cool. Because first thing we see about that then is that Barnabas and Saul were trusted with the relief that they had, that they weren't just going to run off with it. Like, they were trusted amongst the people. And then second, who better to send to people who are in the famine, who are experiencing a hardship, than one of the best encouragers you got, Barnabas and Saul? Like, they send these two guys who everywhere they go are coming alongside of you and are picking you up and building you up in the faith. And so they send him, and they send him to Judea with this relief. And I just think that's just super, super cool. And I wonder how that all, like, what'll happen. We don't get no more story about that time frame, but I wonder what'll happen in that time frame of Paul and Barnabas taking this relief to these people. Like, the encouragement, the growth, like, I just wonder. Bible doesn't tell us, sadly. But I just think that's really, really cool that this his character hasn't changed at all. He's still encouraging people. And because of that, he is now getting sent to people who are in need, who are in need of encouragement and relief. Because, like, it's hard. Like, we got a lot of fires going on right now in our world, right? In Sunday school, we're talking about some people that had to evacuate. And just being able to come alongside them and pray for them. But also, they need encouragement right now too, right? And so we get that opportunity to come alongside them and help pray for them and help trying to encourage them. And Barnabas and Saul did the exact same thing for those people in Judea through that famine. I just think that's really, really cool. So continuing on, we're going to move on to Acts chapter 15. We're going to fast forward a lot here. We're going to see him in action again. And so what's happened on before here now is Paul and Barnabas has made their way all through their journeys. They've gone to a lot of towns. They had the one town where the gospel reacted very well to, and then the people started thinking that they're God, and they called them Zeus and everything. And now they're like, oh, well, that didn't work. And so now they have to go back and like, hey, no, that's not who we are. And so we get to this point now to where they're in Antioch. And we're going to be in verse 36, by the way. So we get to this point, and we come to this passage where Paul wants to go back and revisit all the churches, right? And Barnabas wants to take John Mark. And John Mark, if you remember from the first time they were going through, he was with Paul and Barnabas when they first started their journey through all their churches, right, in all these places. And John Mark bailed out on him. He quit. He didn't want to go on to the work. And so he leaves, and Paul and Barnabas finish. Well, now we're here at this point where Paul wants to go back and revisit all these places. And Barnabas is like, hey, I want to take John Mark. So join with me. We're going to read this passage. It's going to come in verse 36 of Acts 15. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. Then, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John, called Mark. But Peter insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. Then the contention between them came so sharp that they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren to go on the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia and strengthened the churches. So, as I said before, right, what's happening is Paul wants to go back and make his way through the churches again and re-see them, but also see how they're doing. And then here's Barnabas, who's following his personality, right? And he wants to take John Mark. He wants to come alongside of John Mark and be like, hey, you need to come back with us again because this is what's going to be good for you. We need to build you back up because John Mark bailed out on him in the first place. And so here's Saul, or Paul now at this point, and he's like, dude, this guy abandoned us. He didn't want to go off onto the work. Like, I don't want to take him with me. He's just going to abandon us again. So, like, you're crazy. But Barnabas, being the amazing courager and builder up in the faith, wants to take him. He's like, no, we need to come. We need to take him. We need to build him up. We need to bring him with us. That way he can stay and learn. And the contention there, it says, became so sharp that they split. And I find it interesting that Luke here, he never says who was right and who was wrong. If Paul was right for not wanting to take him, or if Barnabas was right for wanting to take Mark. Like, he doesn't say that. But what we do know, though, is that the contention that came between them was not right. It says in 2 Timothy 2:23, verses 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Like, this is one of those disputes that should never have happened. Like, for this to become so sharp of a place to where it makes him split, we know that they are both in the wrong when it comes to that point, because that should never have happened. They're both fellow Christians wanting the same goal, but they let something so, in a way, so little as John Mark split them up. And we know it takes a long time for them to get back together. But we do know from some of Paul's epistles that they are mended. And he actually entrusts John Mark with, He actually comes and entrusts John Mark, and he becomes a great help to Paul. So we do know that along somewhere from this point on that they do get reconnected, which I think is cool. But it should never have happened in the first place. So sadly, they let something like this separate them. But how easy, though, is it for us in our own lives to have that same thing? Like, most of the big church splits that we hear about really are kind of these little details that don't matter in the long run. But they let them split a whole church. Like, you know, one of my favorites is like, oh, what color is the carpet? You know, do we get new lights? Are they LEDs? Are they the non-LEDs? Like, some of these little things that can divide us and split us. And we just can't let that happen. And so Saul, they split. Saul takes Silas and he goes back through. And then Barnabas, fitting with his character, he takes John called Mark and he goes back to Cyprus. So John Mark, he's a cousin to Barnabas, so they're related. And where he takes him to Cyprus. He takes him back home. And I find that kind of interesting. When I was reading that, I'm like, well, why would you go back home? And then I got thinking about it, and I was like, that makes sense. So because John Mark, what happened the first missionary journey when he went with, he bailed out. He left. He didn't want to go to the work. So Barnabas, knowing this, keeping this in mind, goes, okay, we're going to take you with me, but we're going to take you home. We're going to go back to our home island, and we're going to work on you there. And we're going to get you built back up, and we're going to encourage you and build you back up in the faith to where then you can now go back out and continue your journey. And I just found that kind of fascinating to where he puts him in his comfort zone for a little bit to help get him built back up. He doesn't just be like, okay, we're just going to keep on going. He's like, no, I want to help you. So we're going to go to Cyprus and we're going to work on your ministry there and minister to the people in Cyprus. And then we're going to continue on going on. And so he takes him to this familiar place where it's easier not to just give up. And I just find that really, really cool. And how he keeps him in his element to where he can grow. And so, as we close today, this guy, he's always trying to help encourage and build people up around him. So, as we close today, I want you guys to think about how you live in your own life and how we live as a church, right? We've mentioned a couple main things of like how when Barnabas went to Antioch for the first time, he saw his grace. He saw the grace of God there at this church people and how he went and encouraged him. So I want to challenge you guys as we go as we go into the world, as people come in, can they see the grace of God in our lives? Are we living in such a way with one another to where they can be like, hey, there's something different about them? And then secondly, I want to challenge you really to be a Barnabas. I want to challenge you to be an encouragement to other people, to always be looking at how you can come alongside people and build them up and strengthen them and build them up in the faith. So that is my challenge to you. So let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you, Lord, for the example of Barnabas and just for being able to learn from his life on how to be an encourager and how to build people up. And so I want to pray that you will help us to do that. Thank you for all that you do for us. In your son's name I pray. Amen.